You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Genesis, if you would. Genesis. And in chapter 1. And as we have been taking a little sidetrack, getting sidetracked. I can't put it there. When I put it here, it clicks. I was told it clicks. So I have to put it there. No. Okay. We got sidetracked in the light of Jeremiah a little bit, not in, properly too, because when we get back there pretty quickly here, back to Jeremiah chapter 39-40, what are we looking at? We're looking at the destruction of Jerusalem, which we did, and then the mercy of God that has to follow that. So, here's Genesis in chapter 1, and we have a word that we're looked at, and in chapter 1, going to verse 4, going to be repeated. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And the word good, little word good, to shine, to have an appearance of things, how things look, how things appear, how things are valued, how things, in other words, light is good compared to darkness. If you had to pick darkness versus light, you would choose light because it has the advantage. It has everything that darkness doesn't have. So you would choose light. That's the word good. How would you say it? Light is good. Good. Things are good. And so here, looking at that, keeping that in mind, how things seem to, how they shine, how bright they are, pleasing, joyful, how right it is, useful, fitting, proper. It's just like it should be. That kind of word. That's the word. Now, having said that, it's fit, it's suitable. So light is good, good. So God, what are you doing? You have good, as we shared it last time, all the way down, and God keeps repeating. What he did and how he did it was good. It was very, very good. So when we come over to chapter 1, the end, like we just said, in verse 31, when God was finished, he said, God saw that everything that he had made, behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. It was very good. Everything is to be what it's supposed to be, to make everything happen like it's supposed to happen. And here's our world spinning around, the other way around, backwards. Spinning around, and the moon around the earth, and the earth around the sun, and everything is moving, the 23 angle, so that we have the seasons, otherwise everything would be the same. So we get a little tilt, 23.5 degrees, etc. Doesn't matter. And in process, what he did was good. He made the seasons, everything. By doing everything that he did, and it was good. Now, having said that, slide over if I can, if you would, to chapter 50. Genesis and chapter 50. And you will note in Genesis chapter 50. Here's the account of Joseph's last record. And in the process, as you came to the end of the book of Genesis, and then, of course, you have Exodus, Egypt, etc. So Genesis chapter 50 and verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, that's his family, fear not, for am I in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, and you sent me to Egypt to get rid of me. God meant it unto good. There's your little word. It looked like it was all bad, but it was going to come out good. All bad. No way. We got rid of the bad guy, Joseph. No. God, verse 20. And as for you, you thought it against me, for God, me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. God was doing what he's doing, and it's good what he's doing. It looked like it wasn't good. It wasn't good. But it is good. It is good. It's going to come out good. Why does it have to come out good? Because everything God makes and has a reason for making it is going to come out good. That has to come out good. There's bad. Remember the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? They had only, Adam and Eve only knew good. That's all they knew. If they hadn't eaten that fruit of that tree, one tree, all they would have known is a life of good. Everything was what it was supposed to be, wonderfully fitting, useful, beautiful. Everything was just what it should be. Nothing ever broke. Wow. Refrigerator never broke. Washing machine never broke. Everything was good. Just plain good. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to Psalm 23. And in Psalm 23, you would recall, as we did in verse 5, 23, we went and started, looked at verse 6 a little bit. Surely, a little word, surely. With great, there's great force in the little word, adverb. Great force. With strong certainty. Yes, indeed. Absolutely sure. No question. Surely, said David. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Keeping in mind, he's in the valley of the shadow of death and darkness and evil. That's where he's traveling, the same as we are, in the same valley. And the enemy, darkness hates light and is chasing, pursuing, against, always, every day. Darkness is against the light, and it's after. And what do we know about David? David has everything, the table, the cup, and everything. It's all there. And he's with God. And remember, it says in verse 5, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. It isn't a peaceful place. The enemy is all around me. But I'm able to enjoy God's wonderful, perfect presence. And I have to keep going down the corridor of time. And in the process, I am absolutely sure that here I am at this spot right now. And tomorrow I'll be at that spot. but whatever spot as I move down the corridor of time, God is going to keep a table in front of me, and God is following me in his goodness and in his mercy. He's following me. Think of the sheep. Here's the shepherd. Here's the sheep bouncing all around. Big herd of sheep. And here's the dogs keeping him in, keeping the sheep together. God follows the believing heart with goodness and mercy. That's what he does. So as we go down, God is going to follow with his goodness and mercy. So let's take a little moment and look and try to get an exercise of what that entails. How would David, what is so exciting, David, about the surety and the certainty that God is going to is following you with his goodness? Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so God, as to his person, is good. God, as to his word, is good. God, as to everything he's doing, is good. What God is, word, his working, God does what he does is good. And all that God does isn't interpreted, is to be understood. Good, the good that is going to be for Joseph and for the creation and for David and for us, the good is determined by God, not what we think is, that's good. That's good. It isn't our determination of what is good. It's God's determination of what is good. Now, to see that a little bit, go over, if you can, to Numbers. And in Numbers chapter 23. And in Numbers 23, here's, remember, Balaam and Balak. Balak, a Gentile prophet, is helping Balak, a pagan king, try to handle Israel. And therefore, chapter 23, picking up if I can, in verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God said, good, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Over, if I can, chapter 24. And in chapter 24, again, confirming, so we catch it. God means what he says what he means. And he means it for good. Chapter 24, Numbers 24, verse 13, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own will, mind. But what the Lord saith, that will I speak. God's going to choose. God determines what the good is. God determines what's good. We think something's good, and it may not be good at all. That's why we learn to trust God a little more. I think I got a great job. Wonderful, good pay. And if we could see it from God's point of view, it may not be a good job. You don't need that job. That job's not going to work out good. But we pursue. We're looking for God. God's good. So God, I want your will in this. You got to help me, so I don't make too many mistakes. So, Having said that, so God determines what is good and how to do it. Now, in the light of that, over to Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy in chapter 6, and you'll recall, chapter 6, may I go to verse 16, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandment of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Why? That it may be well with thee, that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. God said, what I'm going to do is good. Where you're going is good. What you're going to have is good. But you have to understand, you can't go against my word and against me and expect to come out good, because I'm the good God who keeps his word, his good word. Now, verse 24, while you're still in this section, I'll even read verse 23. And he brought us up out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes. Why? To fear the Lord our God. Why are we going to fear God? For our good always. That's why we fear God. If you fear me, if you don't fear me, you're in trouble. And hang on, verse 24 again, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. So God, you're going to do what you're going to do in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Chapter 10. And in chapter 10, picking up, just to catch the flavor of it. Now remember, this is the background for David. David is down here looking, can read all this. David can read all this. We're reading. He could read it. David had it. And David practices it. David practices what he reads. Now, so here, Deuteronomy chapter 10, picking up in verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Verse 13, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. I'm telling you how to stay in the path of good. As you journey down the corridor of time, I want you to stay in a good path. I want you to weigh, so I got all the good. Whatever you're going through, it has to come out. Going down the good. The rain's falling, thousands and zillions of drops. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. And God said, all of those drops are meant to accomplish a wonderful purpose on the ground on planet Earth. And every word that I say is meant to accomplish, like those raindrops. You can count on the raindrops, and you can count on every word that I have given. It's meant to come out good, not good. Why can it come out good? Because Christ went to the cross and died to make it possible. Now, having said that, you keep that in mind. And verse 14, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord thy God's, is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all therein. And while you're here, O Israel, chapter 12. And in chapter 12, sliding over if I may, chapter 12, if I can, in verse 28. Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. Verse 29, when the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whether thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their land, take heed, verse 30, to thyself, that thou be not snared by following them after they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. In other words, don't follow the wrong course. Don't follow the people. Don't follow the people that you conquered. Stay on course. Don't lose your course, your direction. Now, that's the one, that's the plan. What's the problem? Israel. Israel is like all of us, as we've shared many, many, many times. They got an old nature. The old nature is against God. That's all it is. It's against God. And we have to understand God saves us in spite of our old nature. So, having done that in a most wonderful way, how is Israel ever going to handle the good? We don't find a Joseph coming along. Moses, they end up crossing the Jordan. God keeps them for 40, 38 years in the wilderness, keeps them, but they aren't of the same mind as Moses. Joshua leads them for 7 years into the land. They take the land. They do all that. But they still, they're not there. They're not there. See it, so you see it. In the millennium, the people that are born are unsaved. They don't have to be saved. They have to behave themselves. And as long as they behave themselves, they will live 980 years. That's what they're going to live. As long as they behave themselves. But when God takes away his protective shield and allows the devil to get loose, he is able to go and deceive people as the sand of the sea after 980 years. I'm doing the right, but my heart was never right. My heart was never right. I did what I had to do, as it was the thing to do to survive. Did I ever want to love God with all my heart? No. And as when I'm given opportunity, I rebel. You know from Isaiah 5 and verse 20. We do it many, many times because it fits. Woe unto them, the woes, Isaiah's day. Woe unto them that call evil good and what? And good evil. And darkness light. And light darkness. And bitter sweet. And sweet bitter. When they turn it upside down. Why do they turn it upside down? Because we aren't doing the required good to have the benefit. We aren't doing it. So we're going to turn it around so we're comfortable. And now we're comfortable doing the bad because we call it good. Good, good, good. We do it. And to see that, Numbers chapter 14. In the wilderness, the disease was there. It never went away. In chapter 14, picking up, please. Here they are. I'll give a little background. and the reading. In verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses. Remember, they said, don't go into the land. We can't beat the giants and the high walls and the chariots of iron. And they retreated, and in unbelief, they did not go and take the land like they should have under Joshua and Caleb. So now they're paying a price for it. Verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. Verse 3, wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? The word better is the same word good. Were it not good for us to go back to Egypt? They didn't want to have to go forward. They didn't want to have to go forward. They didn't want to go. They don't want to go forward. Now, and here we are over there now. God help them. Israel, God help them, and he will. Over, if I can, to Malachi. Malachi, as you would know, the old end of the Old Testament. And in Malachi, and in chapter 2. And you will note, Malachi chapter 2, when you end, the movement of the people generally. Chapter 2, verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words. 4, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When we say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them that do evil and call it good. Where is the God of judgment? Question. You see, that's how it ends. There's no thing coming out. It's the human heart. And when I use the example of millennium, that's the grand example. Because if you ever think, well, you can get better. And if you lived in 1,000 years in perfect conditions, and you don't believe, and you don't like it, you don't like the boss, God. So when you get opportunity, you rebel and fire them. You try to. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So the human heart is something else, isn't it? Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over if you can, please, think of it in your Bible, over to Romans and chapter 2. Romans and chapter 2. And you will note, going if I can, in verse 3, a little background again. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or, verse 4, despisest thou the riches of his goodness? Hang on, finish it, you know it. And forbearance, his delay, his holding back, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God doesn't clobber them. God waited all those years with Joseph for good. God meant it for good. Joseph ended up in the famine, going to Egypt, etc., etc. Now, so God, here we are looking. God meant is goodness. So goodness is there. David is capitalizing on what? That God is good, and God's goodness is going to be outworked in my life. That's how it's going to go. Over, if you would please, in your Bible, it's going to be outworked. And where you're here, well, we'll do it a little different. Hold your finger, well, you don't have to. Ephesians and chapter 2. Light. God, the wonderful goodness of light. Ephesians chapter 2, as you would note and remember. Chapter 2, verse 9. Not by works, not of works, lest any man should boast. For reason, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Why? A good God does good things. He has it all to work out in the most wonderful way. So as you're going down, here's the rain. The rain's going to stop. It fulfills its purpose. God's word is given. David says, I'm in the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, in the shadow of death. I'm going down the in this shadow. But it's all going to come out good, because goodness is following me to make sure that I come out good. The good God is following me to come out good. That's what he's doing. That's what David knew. The Jews did. Most of them didn't care. Most people don't care. But every now and then there's a believer that catches on and grabs hold, and God's waiting. Like in Chronicles, God's searching up and down the land to find the heart that seeks him, to show himself strong on their behalf, looking to find the heart. Find the heart somewhere. See.
Wow.
Now, having said that, all things, like verse 10, work together for good works, which God hath before, verse 10, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're supposed to live in them. We're supposed to live in the middle of good works. We are. Philippians chapter 1. And Philippians in chapter 1, what do you know? Chapter 1, verse 6, the believers being confident, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to keep doing it. That's what he's going to keep doing. He started a good... When you got saved, it was a good thing. The goodness of God led you to the cross. Otherwise, he would have clobbered you way back before you ever got there. And he was patient with you and let you live so many days on earth to get with it. And God did it. And then that good work is for what? For God's good. You got saved by his goodness. You're kept by his goodness. And God has a good thing he's going to do, because you're learning how to go with a good God in the right way to come out on the right, to come out with all of the good that God intends to have happen in a most wonderful way. Now, so God has begun a good work. He's going to finish it. That's what he's done. And in the process, we're sitting here. Here's the rain. With the rain, we got to cover ourselves. The storms are there. The sun is on the other side, but we're in the storm. And then you got to go through the storm to get to the other side. You got to go through whatever now in order to get there. That's what you have to do. And in the process, the valley of the shadow of death, you got to go through it. It's the way it is to get to the sunshine. Now, so Philippians chapter 2, what are we going to be doing? You know verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own, no one else's, salvation with fear and trembling. Reason, why are you even going to even try to do it? Why are you trying to do the impossible? Because God, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It happens to be God's pleasure to do so. I will be a father unto you, but we don't want fathers over us. I will be a father. I'm going to take care of you. You don't have to take care of me. I'm an adult. I take care of myself the way I want to. See, it's awful hard. That's why God, when he speaks of believers, which we don't even catch because we don't want to, and my little children, as he says, my little children, and we all look, who's he talking to? You say, he can't be talking to us. Little children aren't any hot. My little children, say, we turn them off. Turn them off. Therefore, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling and to tie it, I hope you got a little bit. Goodness. Over to Romans again. And in Romans chapter 7, Romans 7, and you know 18, for I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So I'm not going to get it out of my old nature. It ain't going to be there. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. I want to do and want to have it, but it doesn't happen. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. My old nature keeps winning, and you have to go down. But for time's sake, you know it, O wretched man that I am, verse 24, and all of that. Now, having said that, over to chapter 8. God, we got an old nature that doesn't want to do good, but God, you do. And therefore, we work it all out, working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what you're going to do. And you have to work through the storms to get to the sunshine. And then you get to the sunshine, and then there's a storm again. Chapter 8, Romans, watch it, you see it, you know it. We know, verse 28, we know that, A-L-L, all things work together. Why? For good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Not everyone wants to be a sheep following the shepherd. Not everyone wants to go down the path of righteousness. Not everyone wants to go in the valley of the shadow of death with God. But those that do, all things work together for good for them. That's what he answered. You love me, you can count on it. You can count on it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I got to quit. Hope you got a little bit. And when you go out, in case it hits some raindrops, just remember the raindrops. And the raindrops come down, and God, every raindrop, and God's word that we just read, all these wonderful words to help us have understanding. And God is going to make all those words are valid and real and work like the raindrops are meant to work. God's word that we just read is meant to work. That's why we want to understand it. Got it?